Sunday dealing with the whole issue of boldness. Now boldness is a blessing from God. Our boldness is the ability to respond positively in the midst of adversity, in the midst of risk. Now this is very important for the movement of any son of God. As you grow in your walk with God, you will find that your walks become more riskier. But because you are growing in faith, they don't seem like risk to you. They are risky to everyone else because you've developed a repertoire, an identity with God as your Father. So you are established in that. And we looked at how this is one of the blessings that comes in the trait of being willing to undertake things that involve risk or danger. But you have an impudent aggressiveness. That means you are not willing to change. God said it, you have a belief system in it, and you refuse for anything to deter you from the course of action. Everyone say boldness.
Boldness.
Boldness in this course is also connected to the word called stubbornness. That you refuse to shift course. Just because the circumstances change, you will not change. The word of the Lord is greater than circumstances. Say amen. Okay, so it requires a form of boldness. Now, the Bible tells us about the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. But the word might there is also the word boldness, strength, ability. So you must know that this boldness is not a natural aspect. While some of you may naturally be bold, it's a spiritual aspect. And this is how you have, when you come into Christ, this is a blessing automatically given to you, but you must activate it. Now, how does your boldness come into action? It's simply when you hear the word of God, it gives you an extraordinary form of boldness to do that which is not logical. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
When you function by logicality, you then bypass the divine. Because the heaven is speaking to the earth. How much you know? That will be higher. It will be greater. It will be harder. So it's imposing itself. So when God speaks from the heavens, and if we say heaven is from God, God speaks from the heavens and he's speaking to someone on the earth, he's imposing something, he's forcing something, he's pushing something. So it requires a boldness. That boldness is only given to you, but you must walk in it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you go to a function, you see a girl across the room, and I'm using it from a guy's perspective. You see someone nice there, and you say, so nice here, I like the way they smile. But you keep sitting here. Someone else who's bolder than you goes and sits next to them. And then you say, Lord, but I'm trusting you. He said, no, but I trust you. I gave you sight, because I opened your eyes, not blind. I gave you ability to walk, I healed your lameness. But you sat in the same place.
Yeah.
Then he made you see a house. A house that you saw, you liked, but the price was without out of your range. But when heaven imposes itself, you appear, the Son of God appears.
Amen.
And you're not coming because of anything. You said, Lord, every place I shall put my foot, you have given to me. Oh, now you have gone quiet. I'll say amen for other things. The boldness comes because you have confidence in your Father.
Amen.
That you don't have the means of it, but he can change the circumstances to suit his Son.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
You see, Isaac, only when he was placed on the altar, Jehovah Jireh appeared.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
You're not going to see the magnificence of God appearing if you're not willing to allow yourself to go on the altar.
Yeah.
When you can do that, because lots of people say they trust God, but what do they trust God? They trust God that it will suit their needs. They don't trust God that he will intervene and that he will step and change everything because of the Son in them. Look at the story. John chapter 2. The letter of the wine. Jesus enters. How if you know the whole circumstance changes?
Yes.
Why? Jesus is there, but while he is there, as long as no one knows he is there, it's still without wine. But his mother knows he's there. She says, do whatever he tells you. Now if you know, if you are aware that Jesus is where you are, just do whatever he tells you.
Amen.
Just do whatever he tells you. Now you receive this as a blessing, and it seems like it's great acts of bravery, and you are very faithful. No, it's a blessing you've already received. But if you don't see it as a blessing, you'll think that this is a challenge. Now,
here's something that's very important. Leon came in very vibrantly this morning. He told you that this is what's going to happen. Blessings are going to come upon you. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes.
Christmas today, please, man. Get up and go. You know? He told you it's going to come. But do you know the word blessing? Before the outpouring of goodness and mercy means you must kneel. No? That means you must submit. That means you must know when you enter any territory, there's one of two people you're going to submit to. You or God. Forget the devil. The devil not interfering with nothing. It's your mind or God. So if you know how to submit yourself to God, you bring yourself down, you humble yourself. Grace is given to you.
Yes.
Boldness. Everyone say boldness.
Boldness.
Now you have to know that this was very important because your journey, and I tell you, like I've been saying very strongly, very firmly, yesterday we got to see my spiritual father for a bit, and I know that things are changing rapidly. Now you have to decide if you're in or out. What's the greatest reason you won't be in? Distraction. Not so thing. Long time we didn't do this. Long time. Then you start saying long time ago in Bethany. And you'll end up there. Before you know, you'll say, Ma Baker, Ma. You'll end up somewhere. You want to know when there's pivotal moments. Moments in God. Because if you think 2025, I'm going to be bold. Your 2025, like we said on Sunday, has already begun.
Yes.
The moment you hear a word from God, it means enter. Now you could have gone the rest of the day, weeks now, and because you've been eating, sleeping late, doing all of that, you forgot the word. Because you think, God, I'm on holiday now, so he's on holiday. No, he interjects when everyone else is busy to see if you can maintain the focus. Okay? Are you with me?
Yeah.
So boldness comes because of association, covenantal relationships. You will see in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. You see, the company you keep is very important.
Yes.
Peter and John were an apostolic company. Peter is the high flyer, he's the rock, he can do anything. John is the one who is the beloved. He's the heart man. So you have a man who is faithful and the other one who is a heart man, who is a beloved. But they were together, and the Bible says when they were arrested, these men saw that they were uneducated. But what did they know? They know that they had been with God. See, your boldness gets affected by the relationships you have. You'll be bold when it comes to worldly things because you have that kind of relationship. Come on, man, let's just do it. You won't be so bold in the church because you've got everyone that's agreeing with your perspective. You can ask yourself, who do you spend time with that's always changing your level? Because you think you've reached a level and say, no, it's not enough. Yeah. Did you consider this? Because as long as you settle, everything will be okay until God has to get your attention. Yeah. And how does God get your attention? He pulls out something from under you. Yeah. Yeah. Right? So you must know who's the Peter in your life or who's the John in your life. You must know. Why we know we have spiritual fathers, but hey, you spend time with friends, you spend time at work with colleagues. You can't change the trajectory if you're still spending only time with yourself. That's why the most dangerous person to be with is you.
Yeah.
You are the limiter, you are the restrictor, you can tell yourself how far you can go.
Yeah.
Someone else can push you to where you can't go.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
You must ask yourself, who's higher in your relationship? If you are the highest form, that means that's where it ends. Yeah? Because if you say stop, it stops. But you need someone to tell you, hey, come on, let's take the risk, let's take the chance. And it's okay to fail. Because you won't know what you're capable of unless you go beyond. Am I talking to some believers this morning?
Yeah.
Come on, you got to trust your God.
Yes.
You got to activate some stuff. You're seeing it and you've been working it out. The promises are lingering. You shall be blessed in the field. But you're only staying in the house. So you got the house blessing. You'll be blessed in the city, but you're only staying in the farm. There's two parts to it. There's the in and there's the out. You've got to be bold to go into territories you've not been before.
Yes.
Now, is this in keeping with Christmas celebration? Yes. Jesus was bold enough. The blessing comes from Christ.
Yes.
He came into a territory and he made himself of no reputation.
Yeah.
Right? All all of his power, while he was fully God and fully man, he came and he was born through a human vessel, the vessel he created. Became subject, and to show us a pattern that you can be, if you are able to follow the word, be strong, and you are bold enough, you can keep breaking limitations.
Yeah.
Keep breaking. So association. So why was Jesus put in the family of Mary and Joseph? Mary is a young girl, naive, pregnant before marriage, and the angel talks to her, and she says, "Be it unto me according to your word." He says, if I have to be lambasted in my whole family, if I have to be disgraced because I'm carrying a holy thing, be it unto me according to your word. Oh, you're all quiet, man. You're only shaking there. Say amen.
Amen.
You understand? She was facing persecution from her family, divorce from her husband, rejection from an entire society because the norms, social norms dictated that if you are engaged to be married and it was already in the last phase of the marriage, the completion, consummation only remained. She was pregnant before that. But she said, be it unto me according to your word.
Yes.
That means I embrace what you say, not what they'll say.
Yes.
Come on. You ought to know this. Joseph went to, actually, he had also come from a strain called of Joseph, who comes from the tribe of Judah. Judah is about the lion. Joseph was did a discreet thing. He wanted to divorce his wife quietly. The angel said, no, stay. And you know which angel we're talking about, right? Which angel? Gabriel. And what does Gabriel name mean? Gabriel's name means man of God. Who's your angel? Oh, now you're saying amen. But before pastor, very nice. So you want to know that there's a boldness that comes automatically when you are born again. Then God sets you in a family where you're meant to be pushing boundaries and barriers. Some of you have testimonies where when we spoke about you getting a car, you saw a limit, and then we said, why you don't consider that? Broken. Why? Because there's always more that comes in your life. Come and say there's more.
There's more.
Okay. So, boldness comes through the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now, the Holy Spirit is in you, but the Bible says when he comes upon you. That means, what does that mean? Anyone know? He's in you, so you should receive power when he's in you. There's an empowerment there. But when he comes upon you, he overtakes you. Overwhelms you. That means he takes over your thoughts, takes over your actions. Then your power becomes holy or spirit-filled power. Because as long as the Spirit is in you, he's subject to you. The Holy Spirit can say anything. But when you allow him to come upon you, that means it doesn't come from outside you. But he rules over you. Power is manifest. So why are most of the believers powerless? Spirit is in, but he's not over. Not taking charge. That automatically makes you a witness. Makes you someone who's powerful, someone who's breaking limitations. Now, I'll leave that where it is, but I'm going to come a couple of days. I've got some other things, other blessings I want to deal with, but this morning I want to deal with something else. As you can see, it's Christmas, and I just want to give you a lot of gifts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me get to where I need to be. So, we were dealing with the whole issue of Jesus coming, and instead of talking about a grace option environment, but we speak about how Jesus spoke about how Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach what? The gospel to the? Are you with me? Come on, everyone, stay with me. To preach what? The gospel to the poor. Any Santa's elves here? No? Okay. Gospel to the poor. So we know that the way to deliver the poor is to preach what? The gospel. What does the gospel mean? Anyone knows? Good news. Another one? Glad tidings? Mark? Not the Mark version just yet. What else? Announcements? So, when you have good news, what must you do with good news? Preach. Everyone say preach.
Preach.
Are you a preacher? Are you a preacher? Are you a preacher?
Yes.
Bible says,
Spirit of the Lord comes upon me because he has anointed me to what? Preach what? The gospel to the?
Alright.
So automatically when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you preach. Right? Now what you know preach is someone standing in church here behind the pulpit. But the word preach means to announce. To declare. To share. How many of you have the Holy Spirit with you? How many of you know when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, automatically you announce. So we don't have to have evangelism programs. You don't have to have drives, because if you allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you, you can't help but announce. What are you announcing? Good news. What's the good news? That there's hope for the poor. Oh yeah, there's hope for the poor. You're poor. We dealt with all of that. Hope, I didn't say it like poor. Because somebody might think, hey, only for my auntie, but not my uncle. No, no, for the poor, right? Because there is a poor as well. So, here's the thing. Preaching requires what? A preacher. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. This is not T-H-I-T-H-E, it's T-I-D, tidings, right? Good news. So the preacher is Spirit appointed, led and by the Spirit of truth, who is the comforter. To preach means to be, here's the one I did this intentionally and I want to get to this place. In Isaiah 61, in the Greek, when Jesus said that, it means to announce, to declare. But in the Hebrew version of it, when the Bible says, because he has anointed me to preach. The word preach there means to be fresh. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you because he has anointed you to be fresh. To be refreshed. To carry life with you. To be fresh to the poor. Because the poor are weary. The poor are tired. The poor are defeated. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he anoints you to be fresh, to preach. The Bible also says, I like the word fresh means to be full. Then in brackets they got the word rosy. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you preach, to preach means that you are rosy. It means you are cheerful. The cheeks get rosy. It means you are joyful. You see, when you preach it, the attitude with which you do it is very important. Yeah? People draw from what you are feeding. So you must be fresh. You can't say, oh yeah, now the Bible says, you know, and then you got no life in you. You're supposed to share it with vigor, vitality, excitement. Why? When the Spirit comes upon you, there's an impartation of life. And what you must do, you must be unapologetic for it. Lots of people share in doubt, like they don't believe it. But after 10, 15 years, hey, you must be rosy. Yeah? You must be able to talk very clearly. Listen, I can tell you, I can hear you already. You get into a certain place, you can already pick up when someone is poor. Yeah? You talk about, let's go, you need this restaurant. They say, so expensive, poor. So, no. I'm inviting you. I'm not asking you to pay. That's good news to the poor. Yeah? Somebody is seeing a jersey or a jacket or a t-shirt, they're walking with you, and they say, hey, I'll never buy, that's a waste of money. Say, no. Don't worry, I'll waste my money on you. I've got good news for the poor. Yeah? Huh? You went high out. The boldness just went to the Why? Because, you see, God loves what? Come on. What? He loves what? Cheerful giver, rosy giver. Not someone who's just talking. You got that, right? So when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, let me tell you, you're a very generous person. Because you're putting on demonstration the generosity of God. You can tell the poor, hey, listen, God sent me, give me a word, Jesus died for you. But if you don't show the poor what richness is about, you got words, my friend. Your words will not affect no one. Say, no, you must trust God. God will break through for you. You say, hey, but be fast. You know, I only need 1,000 rand. 1,000 rand? Ah, no, here you go. Why? I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. But you know, I say $1, sure, that's a lot of money, yeah? I need someone to preach to me. Even though I got the good news. Come on. When last you were in the environment, you had someone's need, and you're thinking, if I do this, no duck for us, no gammon this way. Yeah? Because the price of duck, that's just duck now. You see, Jesus came to give. The whole issue of this, how are you going to preach to the poor? How are you going to preach? So you have to know that you have to be fresh. When you were the poor, you have to be fresh, you have to be alert. Now, the psalmist David tells us what this freshness is about. He says in Psalms 92 verse 10, but my horn you have filled, you have exalted like a wild ox, I have been anointed with fresh oil. See the freshness in your preaching comes from oil. And that makes your strength, that makes you more powerful. You're not afraid to talk. You're not afraid to take the risk because you know, hey, I've got my backstop. Maybe your backstop is your bank account. Your backstop should be the Lord Himself. Yes. Make someone else's life rosy. Yeah? Oh, come on, let me try that again. Maybe there's believing there. Make someone else's life rosy.
Yeah?
Don't look for a rosy and I say, are you rosy? Yeah. I'm here to make your life rosy. So you have to know that in the transacting, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have a gospel to preach. But that gospel is empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit brings to you an anointing. The anointing is called fresh oil. And the freshness is breathed through your speaking. Because you're a person of action. You see, the weight of your words is because of the weight of the man. Come on, you must get that, right? You can preach all the things I'm preaching, but it'll have no impact because behind you there's no seed. Because in your life there's no sweat, there's no blood, there's nothing there. Oh, but the freshness comes because when the anointing came upon you, you received an invigoration. You also have to know how to sow. You also. So when you speak, it changes the trajectory of the world. On you have exalted, my eye has seen. I also have seen my desire, my enemies, my ears hear my desire, the wicked will rise up against me. Listen, when you have this oil, you start to see the wicked destroyed, enemies destroyed, those who rise up against you destroyed, and the righteous flourish. So here's the first mention of the word preach as in fresh. It comes in the form of a messenger. So when you preach, you must know that you're carrying with you the identity and the understanding that you're a messenger. I don't know if you know, messengers have messages. If you don't know what a message is, you'll never want to be a messenger. So, are you a messenger of the season? Yes? What's the message of the season? You can talk about this season, you can talk about Reformation, you can talk about all of that. What's the message? Because I don't know if you know, when you preach it, it brings freshness. You have an apostolic season. When you receive an anointing because the Lord brought you into this, and you receive fresh oil, fresh illumination, fresh understanding, when you speak, it brings a freshness in your life. It's different. Not everybody will understand it. Not everyone will accept it. But man, when you speak, it brings refreshment. How many of you know there's no freshness in our environment, in our relationships? Because we know it, we're just not speaking. Why? The breath of life. When you speak, there is breath. There is air. Now you can have an impartational characteristic, but you have to speak. You have to know the gospel you have. Psalms 40 verse 9 to 10 says, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness.
When last did you hear that righteousness is good news? You must proclaim the good news of righteousness. There's a right standard. Righteousness means a moral code. For you, if it's not good news, it won't be good news for anyone else. Now you can live in the world in a postmodern society and everyone is anti-righteousness. In a postmodern society, there is no center. There are no absolutes. What you believe is good for you, what I believe is good for me. But oh, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you preach the gospel or the good news of righteousness, it becomes freshness for you. Do you know that the church has become somewhat stale in the world? Because it's no more preaching about freshness or righteousness, it's adopting the ways of the world. Everything will be coming subject to the way the world is. You have to know what is righteousness. You go with your friends, they say, have a shot, you say, I'll give you a shot. Yeah? Yeah, you can't be drinking like a weekly. You have to be weak to function like that. I don't tell you, oh, it's social, but no, you need a social club. You receive freshness from God, deliverance. Why are you so weak that you can't stand your ground? Got no backbone, no identity. No, me, I've been 15 years, you're 15 all the time, you're a follower. Be a leader.
Amen.
Don't be a follower. Be a leader. Because we saw what he did to our families. You can't finish, you can't touch the bottle. You touch it, it'll destroy your family. I know homes that lost fathers for years. Because every time the father got paid, he stopped by the bottle stock. He stopped by the shebeen, he never came home. Children were embarrassed because they had fetched their father from the side of the road. Now you're telling me you're a social drinker. Now I've got good news for you, good news of righteousness. It don't work for us, I don't need to fit in. If this is a company that makes me want to fit in by doing that, I choose not to be a part of it.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Hey, you've got to have some good news of righteousness. People mustn't tell you that righteousness is out of date.
Yes.
No, we've been sound on some roads. Maybe you didn't have the experiences. But we've had to heal wounds. We had to comfort people when they lost parents and they lost siblings and they lost husbands prematurely. You got to know that there's a good news of righteousness. Why? Righteousness will preserve you. And you got to speak it wherever you are. If you're going to lose friends, then you better know who your friends are. Yeah? And we must promote this culture more and more. We're not against you, but we are definitely for what we believe. Yeah? That's your belief by all means. But we're also for what we believe. And we believe that God wants us to be righteous. Why? The righteous will inherit the earth. There's a guarantee for us. The good news of salvation. Oh, sing to the Lord. Psalms 96 verse 1. Sing a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation. So you've got good news. What else can you preach? You can preach about His salvation, His deliverance. That Jesus came, He died, He was buried, He rose again. So that you and I can be saved from our sin. You see, we're preachers of many things. Preach righteousness, preach salvation. The Bible says, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory. Isaiah 40 verse 9, the Bible says this, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, go up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. So the people who are a Zion company, they bring good tidings. Because Zion is a very different position. Zion is a position of elevation. Zion is a position of a stronghold. That means you're a safe place, a refuge. And you've got good news. You've got good news. The Bible says, Jerusalem, speak your good tidings. And what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the city of truth. Zechariah calls it. Jerusalem is the city of double peace. You see, when you function, you know that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, that Zion is called the church of God. The church is referred to as Zion. And what's the characteristics of a Zion people? They are zealous for God. Full of zeal. You can take them anywhere and they open their mouth about God.
with family, with friends, with uncles, with aunties, they are not afraid because they are zealous for God. Now this is the people who have bypassed all the others. They've gone below, past the valley. They've gone past the plateau. They've gone up into the highest position. They stand as the interface between heaven and earth. This is the kind of people. And then people say, oh, preaching today, no preaching. No, nonsense. The Spirit of the Lord must come upon me.
Amen.
Yeah? Hey, today you're going to have opportunity. You're going to be with your family and friends.
Yes.
Zion.
Yes.
Why? Here's the thing. If you're in the midst of a company and you perceive the poor and you don't preach to them, you are happy for them to remain poor. Are you with me? We don't share because we want you to be a believer. No, we can perceive that you are poor. Now we got something that will change your poverty. So, oh, please, Christmas now. Don't share about Jesus. Hello? What do you mean, don't share about Jesus? All the world is doing everything because of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then they want to tell you, no, Christmas, put it away. Bring out the bottles and all, not talking about Jesus.
Ah.
It's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah.
You're celebrating about something. Now let me bring the light, illumination.
Amen.
This thing you are celebrating. No, you are a preacher. I tell you, you're a preacher. Most of us are not experiencing our breakthroughs the way we're supposed to. It's because we stop preaching. Stop breathing. So there's no strength in us. We fit in wherever we want to. Oh no, no, no. You ought to know how to be clear. Because look at what the results are. Verse number 10. Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand. That means God will appear because you are preaching the good news. His arm will rule for him. His reward is with him. His work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. Hey, too many benefits not to. Are you with me? Too many benefits not to. Look at that, what he will do for you. God will come with great power, might, and ability. He shall rule, exercise dominion. That means when you start to preach, God starts standing up.
Yes. Amen.
Imagine now you're all in a function, don't you know, sitting there? And you're talking, hey, oh, Christmas, you want to do this, that. And then you start speaking of him and God stands.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just stands.
Yeah.
And pray and mind with you.
Yes.
Because God found one.
Yes.
Amen.
He found one that's going to change poverty. He's going to break the curse of poverty.
Yes.
Because he believes in a gospel he's received. That when he declares it, there's a freshness that comes into that life.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are, what your pedigree is, how much of money you got. He knows the power of that gospel.
Yes.
So you don't preach because you don't know what you have.
Yeah.
Remember, preaching is not going to say, okay, everybody turn your Bibles now. No, no. You're announcing, you're speaking. You're thinking biblically, but you're speaking secularly.
Yes.
You're announcing something. Because you know you've come too far for you to just sit there as if nothing happened.
Yes.
Now here's the part you might know. Behold, his reward is within. The whole time you're sitting, you're trusting God for rewards. No rewards. Why? His reward is with him.
Yes.
How does he appear? He appears as the Holy Spirit comes over. He appears as you speak of him. Yes? The two on the road to be made, as they spoke of him, what happened?
Yes.
He appeared.
Yeah.
When he appears, what happens? He said to Abraham, I am your shield.
You
have exceedingly great reward.
Yeah.
Is it possible that you are missing an exceedingly great reward?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have not brought the good tidings, the Zion. Forget just the reward, an exceedingly great reward. Hey, listen, take which words you want. You take which words you want. Because you can still, next week we'll see you, next year we'll see you. You may be great, but I'll be exceeding.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
But we all sat in the same place.
Yes.
And God is not unjust.
Yes.
God is just.
Yes.
Today you can become the preacher, the announcer.
Yes.
Today your environment can hear that there's a new spirit that flows in your home, in your relationship, in your families, wherever you go. Because some of us need to speak it even in our own homes.
Yes.
Because the only place you agree, the only place you come together is here.
Yes.
But your family is in poverty.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's poverty when you can't sit together, eat together, laugh together.
Yeah.
That's poverty.
Yes.
You must know that the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? They were all together where? In one place. The Bible says, and then the sound from that place caused all of the people to pay attention. We're making sound, but it's not a Holy Spirit sound. Yeah, yeah? And people are noticing, even the neighbors, they're putting their ears against the wall now because you've got that single wall in the middle. They're listening. You heard what they said. Christian people.
Yeah.
But what you got playing in the background? Hillsong. And your name is the highest. But you're not declaring it in your back. Listen, maturity means that it works in your home.
Yes.
Yeah?
Amen.
You got it right. His reward is in him, next thing his work is before him, he feeds his flock. Hey, you'll be well fed. You'll receive the abundance of God. You'll gather, you'll carry, and he'll gently lead. It means he'll guide you. I like what the Hebrew says about this. Gently mean, lead means to run with a sparkle. You're running, but with a sparkle in your eye. Not sparklers like we got. You end up dying, but with a sparkle. Flow. To protect, to sustain. Good news carriers have beautiful feet. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says this. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. Who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
Amen.
It means everywhere you go, it is received with honor, it is received with gratitude, because you have beautiful. See, the kind of gospel, the kind of news determines how people receive. People look forward to what? Carry this message. Carry this grace. Nahum chapter 1 verse 15. I don't know if you know there's a name in the Bible. Behold, on the mountain the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed peace. Perform your vows. For the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. You see, when you carry good news with you, the wicked one no more has a right to be in your environment. Wickedness. That's all. So, we've come to the end of another year. And you and I have to ask, what gospel are you preaching? What gospel do you carry? Because all the Bible says is good news, good news, good news. But you must know that in the scriptures, the gospel is very important. There are many gospels that exist in the scriptures. I'll give you quickly a couple of things. The gospel you have, the gospel that Jesus preached, which is the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you have to know that the gospel that Jesus preached was the gospel first of repentance, then of the kingdom. When you and I come into this alignment, and we have understanding of the gospel we preach, it leads to repentance. You see, you can't enter or access the kingdom of God without repentance. Amen? What is repentance? Anyone knows what is repentance? All the sons of God? Yes, ma'am? make a turn,
that might be called a U-turn.
Change your mind, okay? Change your mind, anything else? How many of you ever repented? Anyone repented? No repentance.
Okay. Repentance simply means a change of the mind which results in a change of direction. Now, we give you simple examples. And the Bible says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It says, change your mind because there's another kingdom that's functioning. And to change your mind, you know, you and I have to now accept what is true. You can't just change your mind. Your mind gets changed based on what you hear. Right? So when you're hearing the gospel, and Jesus preached this, why? Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Right? So the gospel we have, what's the main thing about the gospel we have? The gospel centers around Christ. Everything. It doesn't center around healing. It doesn't center around prophecy. It doesn't center around good works. Everything centers around Christ. So when you have the gospel of the kingdom, when you have the gospel, the good news, Christ is the center. Not come to our church because our church will give you apples. Not come to our church because we've got a nice music team. No, the center of everything is Christ. And this is what we preach, this is how we function. So Christ is central to the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 to 9 says, in a flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to bring you to one. There's many reasons for many of the gospel. When you look at it, .com, there's an acronym for gospel. You can go and look at it. It's the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the blessed God. But Romans chapter 15 verse 29 says this. Why do we preach to the world? But I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You understand? That the gospel of Christ has the blessing.
Yes.
It is that blessing that breaks the curse. So when you speak the gospel in every location, it has the ability to chant, to break curses, but to install blessings. Okay? So that's why we preach. This is the gospel we preach. This is what we proclaim. And the Bible says in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So there needs to be a believing. But how does believing come about? Hearing. Next part it says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen? And who are you? Preacher. What are you going to preach?
Good news.
What's the good news? The gospel of Christ. And what does the gospel of Christ bring with it? This is why Jesus came.
Yes.
Jesus came to the earth because man was poor without God. Laboring in his own labor, his own spirit. When Christ came, and he came as a result of his sending, immediately, on the day that he was born, or before he was born, when the angel appeared and said, glad tidings of great joy. See, Jesus coming to earth was the installation of good tidings, great joy. Now here's the thing, as we close, because I see some of you already praying while I ask you to pray. Thank you for prophetically, but when Jesus came, his only intent was to break the curse, to break poverty. And how did he do that? This is why you must never, ever look down on Christ. He came in, born in the lowest place. He came born to parents that were of no reputation. To show you
that glory is not just for the high and mighty.
Yes.
This is the message of the gospel. You can be poor now, but in Christ it is not your destiny.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
This is why the church should celebrate, the world should celebrate, because poverty was broken.
Yes.
But the Savior came into the world. And he came in to identify with your lows.
Yes.
Mary would have been embarrassed, disgraced, right off his head. Joseph would be the weak husband, the useless man. How dare he take on this man? Would be the outcast of society. Jesus was born in that way. To make it worse, he didn't even get a room. So he was born with the animals. That means even if everyone closes the door, even if there's no, if everyone is, you are disgraced in your birth, you didn't have the right start, even if there's a the thought of divorce in your home, there's all of those things going on. Hey, I tell you, the gospel is that everything in Christ, you can start on the outskirts of nowhere, but you are meant for the glory.
Amen.
This is the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
This is the good news to the flock. This is the life that comes to those that are dying.
Yes.
This is why you don't preach. Someone never hears. They are stuck in poverty. What's the poverty? Not having money.
Yeah.
Not knowing that your purpose, where you start, is not determined in the end.
Yes.
Christ determined, and the gospel of Christ was always intended to turn weak things, beggarly things, despised things, into great. Are you with me? I pray today that you will be convinced why you are a preacher.
Yes.
That someone poor is waiting to hear.
Yes.
And can transform their life. Listen, if you are poor, you're going to discern and decide what kind of area you are poor in. Some of us may be in our self-confidence. Some of us may be in our relationships. But you are to learn that Christ was born in the lowest. Many brought the gospel. It was the gospel of breaking every limitation in your life. The world celebrates because it's nice to like Jesus as a baby. No, we celebrate because it was the initialization of your journey.
Amen.
It was the beginning of new things. It was a freshness that came to the earth.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how long. It took him 30 years to get to a certain point. 33 years to get to the heavens. And it might take you some time on your journey. But I tell you, with him it is sure.
Yes.
This is the intention of Christ's coming. Not so that you can go to a manger. No, no, no. It is to show you where you start is not where you are going to finish.
Yes.
Right? And he shifted us from slaves, strangers, and foreigners into sons. May the Lord give you grace this Christmas morning as you go and be with your families. May your mouth become the trumpet.
Yes.
May it become the announcer. May it become the declarer. In every location, you carry a gospel.
Yes.
That has the ability to execute all forms of wickedness, judge every form of poverty,
yes,
bring the heavens into the earth, and the heaven comes concealed as a baby, but it is the King of Kings. You may be concealed for a moment, or by the King being seen. May the gospel flow through you and may grace be given to you. Come, let's pray this morning.